Master, are you sure this is a good idea?
Where's your adventurous spirit, Bash?
The only spirit here is going to be yours when this pit collapses.
Surviving for over 4,000 years, the Epic of Gilgamesh stands as the oldest surviving literary work.
Your client believes this is the place Gilgamesh died with his treasure.
My men may find something. The Mark of Gilgamesh was there, after all.
But what if the tale of Gilgamesh was more than just simple fantasy?
Have I told you the legend of the cave in the middle of the desert? One so treacherous to reach, only few have made it back.
What if it was a story, carefully constructed to hide an ancient secret that humanity was not meant to uncover?
What the dickens are you doing?
You have no idea of the true significance of Gilgamesh, Miss Morris.
Join Arthur, Mohammed, Lola, and Bashir on a dangerous journey as they seek to unearth the truth behind this Mesopotamian mystery.
The Gilgamesh legends are just a myth.
What matters is that someone thinks there's something to it that's worth killing for.
Immerse yourself in the world of the Invicta Collective, where archaeology, romance, and action collide in a gripping audio drama experience. The adventure begins on November 12th, wherever you get your podcasts. Visit InvictumDigital.com for more.
Invictum Digital presents... an original adventure story by author Brina Williamson. Featuring an original score by Christian Pausland and sound design by Jonathan Winstead. Marona Grant and the Lost Tomb of Golgotha. Episode 1, An Expedition to Where?
This bridge looks steady enough. Right, Argos?
I know. It looks a tad crumbly to me, too. But I'm sure we can make it across. Oh. Mostly sure. Oh. Could have sprung for a wider footpath here, old Intef. Okay, your turn. Come here, boy. There you go. Good boy. Ooh. Now, how do we get past this door? Any suggestions? What is it, Argos?
There she is.
Tell me, Grant. Are all tombs as shoddy as this one?
It's not a tomb, O'Keefe. Tombs are where they keep the dead people. This is a treasury, where they keep the good stuff. And no, most treasuries I've seen are much worse than this.
What about those two barbed contraptions back there? They looked all jammed up.
That's because I jammed them.
Huh. What for?
To avoid being impaled on them, Bob.
Huh.
Very resourceful.
Well, that's why your boss hired me. Speaking of which, didn't Falcon Ridge send you with me to keep watch outside while I extracted the treasure?
I did. But me and the lads were wondering what the holdup was. I thought you could use some help.
Oh, so you have the keys, do you?
What keys?
Guess not. From the look of these locks set into the door here, I'm pretty sure they correspond with the keys of Intef.
What are those?
Three complexly carved small stones that were found by archaeologists in the Pharaoh Intef's tomb several years before the war broke out.
So, where are they now?
In a museum in London.
Well, I guess that's it then.
Giving up so soon?
What did you have in mind, lass? Book a flight to London?
I wouldn't exactly expedite things.
So, what do you suggest?
Dynamite.
Dynamite?
Come here, Argus. You fellas might want to find cover, real prompt-like.
No, heavens!
Sorry about that. I might have been a bit enthusiastic with the explosives. It's a habit I'm trying to kick.
On the contrary, Grant. I rather like the way you operate.
Well, it's certainly quicker than flying to London to pinch those keys. Stay, Argos. Something's not right up here.
What's the problem?
Well, you see those slits in the walls? My guess is we have some sort of trap system here. Let me walk the hall first. The fewer feet, the better.
Sure, take your time.
Here goes nothing. Well, at least there's a slight variation in the height for what I'm guessing are the trigger stones. Wouldn't be too hard to... Oh. Argos, no! Swinging blades, really? It's like all these places have the same architect. Blast, there's gotta be a rhythm. Argos, stay there, boy, I'm coming! Complex, interconnected system reliant on synchronized momentum. Interesting. And convenient. Shall we, lads?
After you.
Well, look what we have here. Gentlemen, I present to you the Jade Cat of Intef.
It's small. I don't get it. What's so special about it?
Legend is that the pharaoh, Intef, practically worshipped this pet cat of his. So on its death, he ordered a jade statue detailed with gold to be made in its likeness, and instructed that when he died, the statue be placed watching over his sarcophagus. But when his tomb was found, there was no sign of the statue in the chamber. So scholars brilliantly decided the story must have been a myth. But rumor was that the pharaoh's wife had loathed the animal and her husband's devotion to it so much that she had defied his orders. And upon his death, the statue had instead been hidden inside a deadly trap-ridden vault where no one could find it. You know, a place like this, where we now find ourselves standing before the very cat experts insisted never existed.
Uh-huh. I still don't get it.
Oh, The academics are sure going to throw a fit over this one. But I've always enjoyed proving them wrong.
I still don't get it.
What are you waiting for? Just take it.
Sure. Because after all that, why would there be another trap guarding the treasure itself?
Fair point.
You fellows will want to stand back for this. My lasso might trigger something. Here goes nothing. Gotcha.
I see. The exit! It's closing!
Get out! Get out!
then what do you think happened next?
I couldn't say, Mr. O'Keefe. But seeing as you're all here, seated in my sitting room and drinking my wine, I'll assume you made it out.
I did at that, but you'll never guess how.
Probably not.
It jammed! Oh, the blessed door jammed up on the rubble left behind from Grant's explosives. Oh, and so there it was, a proper-sized hole right at the bottom, plenty big enough to make our escape. Ah, couldn't have gone any better. She planned it all out.
Trust me, if I had planned it, it would have failed. Which is why I never plan anything, if I can help it.
Wise words, sir. And what about Mr. LaRusso? Was he the nuisance we anticipated?
You could say that, sir. His men were waiting outside, ready to snatch the artifact from us, just as you thought they would be. Had us outnumbered 3-1 they did, but Grant knew how to handle them. Didn't she, boys?
Sure did.
Adventurous Extraordinaire.
I always hated that title.
No one could have lived up to their reputation better. I tell you, sir, you should have been there. Oh, it was better than a picture film.
I'll take your word for it.
I never expected to say this, Grant, but I think I speak for all us men when I say it was an honor to have worked with you. Even if you did do most of the work.
Sir, you should have seen it. Effortless it was. There's not anyone like her.
There's no need to sell me on Miss Grant's qualifications, gentlemen. I already hired her for the job, and I have every intention of compensating her as planned.
Yes, sir. Of course, sir. We didn't mean to suggest that there...
Now then, Miss Grant. My men seem to have gotten carried away in their praises, and the very object of your efforts has been neglected. So, may I see it?
Naturally. One jade cat, as requested.
It's perfect. My men are right. You live up to everything that's been said about you.
Not everything, I hope. But on a somewhat related point, the advance you gave me for expenses actually turned out to be somewhat over my costs. So, you can feel free to take around 30 pounds out of what you owe me.
That's very generous of you. And very honest. I have to say that that was one of the things I liked about you from the start, Miss Grant. Your unflinching honesty.
Coarsely blunt was what my father always called me.
Coarse, yes. But shrewd, Miss Grant. Most assuredly shrewd. A man would have to be an expert liar to pull the wool over your eyes. Fortunately for me, I happen to be just that.
Grab her.
What the... Come here. Get off me!
I'll be taking that money out of what I owe you, Miss Grant, along with all the rest. Try not to worry too much. I'm sure you'll recuperate your losses in no time. I mean, isn't that what you people are best at?
Falconridge! You... As I was saying, you're going to pay for it. Bob...
Marona?
How many years did you box against Bob?
Closing in on 15.
Good.
Good. Good?
All those years of head injuries make you nice and slow. Me down!
over, Marona.
Well, thank goodness that's finished. I hate to see a lady take a beating.
Oh, you're deluded if you think this ends here.
Oh, please say you won't be taking this up with the Egyptian police. I'd lose so much of my growing respect for you if you did. I mean, as far as the world is concerned, this statue doesn't even exist. And since I arranged to have the tomb blown sky high upon your departure from it, you could never prove that you even found it. Let alone that I owe you any money for your troubles. Believe me, Miss Grant, it's not that I don't respect you. It's just I favor keeping my money more.
A millionaire like you, and you can't be bothered to part with such a small fraction of your millions.
How do you think I achieved my wealth in the first place? Nickels and dimes, as you Americans say. It all adds up. Really, you should be thanking me. I've given you an invaluable life experience, one that I hope has made you a little wiser to the cunning nature of men.
Funny. Gratitude isn't what comes to mind.
Oh, well. It was nice doing business with you. O'Keefe, let's not forget to alleviate Miss Grant of that extra cash she mentioned. I wouldn't want her frugality to go unappreciated.
Take the money off her! But, sir, surely there's no need to do
O'Keefe.
Anything.
O'Keefe. Good. My men will see you out.
Oh, there's no hard feelings, love. I meant every word I said before. Me and the lads really do admire how you handled things back in that tomb. You've got impressive skills and some first-rate instincts, but you know how it is. He pays us not to take anyone's side but his.
Right.
That being said, I may have missed a few of them banknotes in your pocket, if you noticed.
I noticed. I suppose you think I should be grateful for your little sleight of hand back there? I'll at least have enough cash to eat something vaguely resembling food for the next few nights.
Ah, no need for gratitude. That was just to let you know it's nothing personal.
Oh, I see. Nothing personal.
That's right. If it were up to me, I'd have paid you in full.
But sadly, it's not up to you.
Right.
And someday, when your boss favors keeping his money more than paying your salaries, one of you will get the same impersonal treatment from your friends here.
Right!
Wait, what?
Just some food for thought, lads. Here you go, boy. I'll have to insist on bringing you inside next time, Argos. You would have ripped the old backstabber's throat out, wouldn't you? Or perhaps he would have simply tossed you some meat and had you out of the way for good. Oh, no loyalty anymore. What a classy joint, huh, Argos?
Miss Grant? How fortuitous that I should find you here.
Fortuitous? Is that what it is? And here I was thinking you intentionally tracked me down because I owe your boss money.
You remembered. And poor Mr. Sloane was thinking you'd forgotten all about him.
He's not the sort I let myself forget.
You're smarter than you look, Miss Grant.
And you are just as tedious to talk to as your monocle suggests. Mind coming to the point?
The money. Where is it?
Not on me.
Not good, Miss Grant. Not good.
You don't need to tell me, Belle.
don't I? When you borrow money for mysterious and costly excavations, but have no plans for how you'll repay it, well, one begins to wonder if you even think before you act.
I would have repaid my debts in full, believe me. There was just an unforeseen hitch, that's all.
Oh, really?
Look, if I had that kind of dough, do you really think I would be sitting in a dive like this, eating slop from a shallow tin?
Too bad. You know better than some how Mr. Sloane can get when he has this much money owed him. Time's up, Miss Grant.
Oh, please. You're not the time's up kind of guy. If my time were up, I'd have Boris and his gleaming switchblade Lola staring me in the face right now. No, I'd peg you as more of a first or second warning goon, which means I have at least a month before the real threats start. Now, why don't you shuffle back to your boss and tell him not to give out any more loans if he's so touchy about being owed?
You just make sure you've got the money when the time comes, Miss Grant, or you'll be sorrier than you can imagine.
Don't be intimidating. It doesn't suit you.
Marona Grant.
Well, aren't I the popular one?
I'll take that as a yes. My name is Carlotta Lennox. I've come here on behalf of my employer, who is very keen on acquiring your services, Miss Grant. Tell me, are you interested in heading up an expedition?
An expedition to where?
I can't say.
Can't say or won't say?
Can't. Besides, where should it be important?
Don't mind him. He only looks like he has mange.
Let me guess. This is his way of showing affection?
No. He just has an itchy face.
Look, Miss Grant. If you take the job, you will be filled in on the particulars. What I'm here to ask you is if you're game.
Well, that would be my problem, wouldn't it? For the right price, I'm game for just about anything life-threatening.
Would this be the right price?
That's a lot of zeros. But it all depends on if I actually get paid or not. My last employer had his own ideas of what constituted a legally binding contract.
You'll get your money, Miss Grant. I can guarantee you that my employer, Lady Woolworth, is a staunchly honest woman by nature.
Lady Woolworth? No, thank you. I'm swearing off lords and ladies for the time being.
I'm afraid I can't believe it at that, Miss Grant. Lady Woolworth was most insistent that I do whatever necessary to get you on board.
Oh, was she?
Yes.
Then double it, plus expenses.
Double it?
With half in advance.
Half in advance?
You turning into a parrot or something? Or
Miss Grant, you can't honestly expect Lady Woolworth to pay that much for your services.
Look, for what I do, your starting offer was low at best. But when a snot-nosed aristocrat needs a tiny little broad to make her inquiries and refuses to give any particulars until after I've signed on to risk life and limb, I charge extra.
Even with all that in mind, you're asking a rather high price.
Look, lady, I'm not just some gun for hire here. I have costly ambitions of my own to fund.
Fair enough. Then let's compromise with, say, a 50% increase.
50%? Who? Tell me. Will the wealthy Lady Woolworth be displeased when she finds out you lost my much-desired services because you chose to squabble over minor percentages?
You are quite surprising, Miss Grant. Here you are, unpaid, sitting in a dive with a black eye and a split lip, eating what looks like lumps of fat and gray water that someone thought could pass as soup. And you are still able to barter as though you were holding all the cards.
This isn't remotely the lowest point in my life.
I don't doubt it. All right, Miss Grant. Double it is, plus expenses. With half in advance and the rest at the conclusion of the venture. Do we have a deal?
When do we leave?
Do you have any bags? I can call a boy for you.
Oh, no. Thank you. I'm supposed to be meeting someone.
Very well, ma'am.
Miss Grant! Oh. Miss Marona Grant, you have no idea how pleased I am that you've signed on with us. Why, you have a black eye. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, you're just how I pictured you would be. Sweat stains and all. Though I had rather imagined you wearing khaki trousers.
Really? Well, I wear what suits my terrain, not magazine articles.
Yes, yes, of course you would. Well, anyway, I'm thrilled to be working alongside the Marona Grant. I must confess that you have long been one of my heroes. If I had had a daughter, I would have named her Marona, just like you. I simply love that name. It's so strong, adventurous, and independent sounding.
It means sheep.
Oh, well, it sounds adventurous anyway. Owing to your daring reputation, no doubt.
No doubt.
While we are on the subject of names, allow me to introduce your new employer, Miss Grant. This is Lady Woolworth.
I sort of guessed that. Pleased to meet you, Lady Woolworth.
Oh, please. I would so much prefer it if you called me Adelaide.
Adelaide Woolworth. Is that your full name, or is there more to it? You lords and ladies always seem to have numerous names attached to you.
Well, actually, it's Lady Augusta Ann Priscilla Millicent Clare Woolworth.
So Adelaide isn't even part of your extensive name, then?
No, no, I just rather like it, that's all. It sounds adventurous, don't you think?
I suppose so. It just makes me think of Adelaide, Australia. I was there for a time after the Great War.
Oh, how exciting! I've always wanted to visit the wilds of Australia.
Well, Adelaide isn't really what I would call wild. It's South Australia's capital city.
City? Huh. I didn't think they had cities in Australia.
So, Lady Woolworth, you hired me to lead an expedition. How's about we get down to business and start discussing the particulars of what exactly you had in mind?
Oh, yes, you're quite right. Let's sit, shall we?
Where exactly is this expedition of yours intended for?
Oh, I haven't the foggiest notion.
So, you don't even know where we're going?
Not in the least. Didn't Carlotta explain?
Your assistant told me I would be filled in on all particulars once I'd signed on. Now you're telling me you don't even have any particulars to fill me in on?
No, no, of course. You'll have all the particulars. Once you've deciphered it, that is.
Deciphered what?
My map.
Now there's a map to decipher.
Well, it's not exactly a map. It's more of a tablet.
A tablet with a map on it.
With ancient Hebrew writing on it, yes.
Writing that leads to something.
We think so.
What do you mean you think?
Well, it has numerous lines describing distances of travel, directions to take, and mentions more than one geographical location, such as the Black Sea, Syria, and Jerusalem.
Which is where I discovered it during my excavation.
Exactly. But when I tried to chart out the route it described onto a map, it led nowhere at all, and at one point even wandered off into the Aegean Sea. And needless to say, I concluded that the text was written in some sort of code, but for the life of me, I couldn't decipher how to read it.
And you want me to decode it?
Oh, Yes, and when you discover where it leads, you must head the expedition to take us there.
But you don't even know where it leads yet. How can you be so sure you'll even want to go there once you do know?
Oh, what does that matter? Wherever it takes us will be an adventure.
So that's what this is all about. A wealthy lady in search of adventure?
Is that a problem?
Not as long as I get paid.
You've been listening to Episode 1 of Morona Grant and the Lost Tomb of Golgotha, an Invictum digital audio production. For more information about this production, visit us online at InvictumDigital.com. That's InvictumDigital.com. This audio drama was adapted from the novel of the same name, written by author Brina Williamson, available now at Amazon.com. This adaptation was directed by Jonathan Winstead, and the original score was composed by Christian Pausland of Shouting Is Funny Productions. Editing, Foley, and mixing by Jonathan Winstead. Graphic art by Brina Williamson. Starring Sandra Espinosa as Morona Grant, with Graham Rowett as Lord Falconridge, Sarah Ruth Thomas as Carlotta Lennox, and Susan Robb as Lady Woolworth. O'Keefe was played by John Doyle, and the bar henchman by Caleb Bressler. Also featuring Daniel Cross as Bob, Jonathan Cook as the Thugs, and Erica Gustafson as the hotel hostess. Produced by Jonathan Winstead. If you'd like to help us out in creating more quality audio dramas, please share this production with your friends, leave us a review wherever you happen to be listening, and follow Invictum Digital on social media. On behalf of us all, thanks for listening.
Something is happening in Monroeville.
What in tarnation? There's just no way.
Something outside the realm of normality.
Can we talk about what the heck is going on? Where all these people came from and what they want?
Trapped inside the local library, a small group of townsfolk fight for survival while their reality falls apart.
Oh, no, you won't. These bookshelves have been here longer than you.
Just do it! Now!
Are you guys serious?
Matt!
What? We'll be sitting ducks!
Can their will to live unite them in time to find an escape? Or will the library become their tomb?
Don't make me do this, Charlie!
This is Florence! No!
Find out in Invictum Digital's first original audio drama, Savage Waking, Obliteration. Now streaming on your favorite podcast app. For more information, visit InvictumDigital.com.